So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
It was definitely an advantage having an English accent selling an English product to an American. Because American people love the our English.
Right, they're enthralled by the way you speak, not necessarily what you're selling.
Yeah, so anyway, it really, really helped. And I managed to sell $9.8 million of these rooms in 5 years. And
wow.
That's cool. And did anyone ever offer you like tea and crumpets, or was it pretty much an iced tea?
I was always being offered tea.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. It is now the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. Not just in New Jersey. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, and I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and I'm joined by the fabulous, the lovely, the wonderful...
Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? We are so happy you are here today joining us. We have a great guest coming up. His name is Alan McKenna. He's the author of The Ultimate Guide to Creating High-Profit Sales Funnels. And some of you are already thinking, but Jen, I don't build sales funnels. I don't need sales funnels. And you're like, I'm going to listen to a different episode. Let me tell you something. I want you to stay with us right now.
Don't touch that dial.
Don't touch that dial. That's right. Stay with us because he has a really radical way of doing his own sales that I think you can learn from.
Tremendously. It shocked the hell out of me when I heard it. But I think that there's a definite purpose behind him. He is British. He's going to sound a lot more intelligent than we are, and that's why I love that I love that kind of an interview.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay attention to someone who speaks with an accent.
Oh, for sure. He's going to help you identify who your ideal client is for sales and marketing purposes. Many of you only know one.
And he deals with high ticket funnels. He's a guy that asks for thousands instead of tens.
And some of our entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs who are listening are thinking that, you know, they don't invest much money in marketing. But what Alan has done is he's actually come up with a way to help you create an unlimited budget for marketing, which is pretty cool, even if you're a small business. And so he's going to help you figure out if you're investing enough and how to invest more.
Whoa.
I know.
So what's going on, Jenny?
Oh, this is an awesome week. It's an awesome week. I love how the public seminars are going.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It's so much fun to meet you diehards out there, like in person. It's freaking amazing. And we're giving everyone these diehard bands. I don't want to give too much away. But if you are a diehard, why don't you come see us in the remaining cities?
Because I'm going to say, who's a diehard? And people are going to raise their hand, and I'm going to say, thank you personally.
So it's just, what's the website? It's like cgittimer.com.
Yeah, cgittimer.com. Thanks for pretending you didn't know.
It'll be in the show notes so you can go down and, well, I did make the website, so I do know.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to challenge you, diehards. And all of you who are listening in podcast land, have you ever seen the police light come up behind your car and the lights are
so
blinking?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the feeling that you get in your stomach? It's like Uber, oh shit. And you're thinking to yourself,
you're wishing you were in an Uber.
you're either speeding or your license is out of date, but whatever it is, you got caught.
Yeah.
And now you pull over and some cop comes out, and license and registration, please. They're never friendly. License and registration. And you're wondering, what the hell was I doing? And then they do it in the form of a question. Do you know how fast you were going? Did you end up renewing your – and they're asking you a question to make certain that they have the facts right before they accuse you.
Huh.
And you have to make certain when you're – if you're a diehard and you're out there making a sale, you have to make certain that you have the facts first and then you can talk about what you're selling second. Because at the moment that you that the moment you're asked by that cop, you're so panicked that you tell the truth no matter what.
Well, I got pulled over once and I was young. I was like a new driver. And the cop said, do you know why I pulled you over? I was like, no, I have no idea. Meanwhile, I'm like almost about to burst into tears. Like,
of course.
I was so young. I'm like, my parents are going to kill me. What did I do wrong? And he's like, you gave that other guy the blinker to know the brights to let them know that I was here, that I was a speed trap or whatever. And I was like, oh
come on.
Really?
It's a free country.
What if I was trying to catch
a
robber?
What's a penny made out of?
No, yeah. He's like, what if I was trying to catch a robber and you let them know that I was there? I'm like, I'm so sorry. it was crazy.
When I turned 17, I get my driver's license and we lived in Kings Highway. This is a little story.
Oh.
I go out on Kings Highway, make a left-hand turn, and I kind of gun it just a little bit. And there's a cop hiding behind a tree, and I'm doing like 37 miles an hour in a 25 zone. And he pulls me over, and I get a ticket for speeding. And I go home to my father, and I'm like, oh, my God. My father's going to kill me. I go, Dad, yeah. I got caught speeding on Kings Highway. And he said, how fast were you going? I said, 37 in a 25 zone. And he laughed and said, don't worry about it, son. Like, I'm going to be like punished forever, right? He goes, eh, no big deal. You're just speeding. Okay, fine. And at that, because my father got his license suspended 3 times for speeding.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a speeder.
Wow. Okay, so I'm sure we could talk about our speeding tickets all day. And if you want to know more about any of our prior tickets, just ask us in the Facebook group. It's Sell or Die Hard's official Facebook group. We want to interact with you. We have some newbies joining us, and we are so excited about them. On Monday, we are going to welcome them officially to the group.
Cool.
But first, it's that time.
What time?
It's time to read a 5-star review.
I love it. That's my favorite time. People say really nice things.
We need like a cool melody for that. Like, yeah. What can we do for like 5-star reviews?
No, you play Kathy Young, 1,000 Stars in the Sky.
Oh.
1,000 stars in the sky. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Okay, well, thank you for singing.
Anymore. We'll have to pay royalties.
Thank you for singing that. Okay, so yeah. Zach writes, this was my first ever podcast as of last Tuesday.
Whoa.
I've now listened to every episode over a 2-month span, and it's great.
Wait a second. Sell or Die binging?
Yeah, I love binge listening. Okay. Good. By the way, I do that too, and I find something I like. I'm so hooked. Okay.
Yeah.
Good information, inspiration, and banter. Love to hear you guys talk. Zach, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening on binge. We need binge.com.
Thankfully for you, we are now live 5 days a week. And so there are lots of episodes for you to binge, listen to, and hopefully learn from and begin implementing.
And we dedicate ourselves to quality podcasting, not just air-filling time podcasting. Our goal is to provide so much value for you that you are compelled not just to give us a 5-star review, not just to subscribe, but to tell both your friends. And if you do that, we will be very grateful. We will have tons of listeners, and we'll be able to expand to 10 days a week. Oh, no, 8 days a week.
That's the sound. It's time. It's time for Alan McKenna's interview.
Oh, wow. Alan McKenna is a marketing guy. He's actually a sales guy disguised as a marketing guy. He has to sell his services. That's what marketing people don't understand. They're actually salespeople. They don't like sales. They pretend like they don't deal with sales, but really, they're salespeople. But Alan McKenna has bridged the gap from marketing to value without having to make sales in the middle.
So take a listen. Alan McKenna is a business strategist with over 20 years' experience in turning companies around and exploding their growth. He's the author of The Ultimate Guide to Creating a High-Profit Sales Funnel, and he's driven more than $30 million in additional revenue for his clients. Whew, that's amazing. Welcome, Alan.
Thank you so much. I appreciate having me here.
Yeah, in our pre-show, before we actually began the formal recording, you were talking about how you grew into the sales process, and I'm extremely interested in it and why you're more believable in America than you were in Great Britain.
Sure. So just stepping back a little bit, I actually started in sales when I was 21, knocking on doors, making appointments, going and making sales. By the time I was 27, I think I was, I ended up getting transferred to a sister company in New Jersey. We just established that we don't say Jersey, we can say New Jersey, so everybody understands that's just outside of New York. And for 5 years, I ran a marketing team and a small sales team in northern New Jersey. And then we started to... It was a home improvement company. We started to import these English sunrooms. They're called conservatories, very ornate, very grand looking, average ticket, about $45,000. And I started off with the marketing for that company. We went from zero to $20 million in 5 years. And I went back in the field selling because I just enjoyed selling so much and specifically enjoying those. So back to your reference about an Englishman selling in America. Is when I was selling these, which was in parts of New Jersey, mostly Long Island, and parts of Pennsylvania as well, it was definitely an advantage having an English accent selling an English product to an American. Because American people love the our English.
Right, they're enthralled by the way you speak, not necessarily what you're selling.
Yeah, so anyway, it really, really helped, and I managed to sell $9.8 million of these rooms in 5 years.
Wow.
That's cool. And did anyone ever offer you, like, tea and crumpets, or was it pretty much an iced tea?
I was always being offered tea.
Oh, man. Okay,
You know, the English have a thing that if there's a problem, it's like, let's have a cup of tea, or if there's if you do something well, honestly, have a cup of tea. Everything ends with a cup of tea, so.
Of course. So you're known for helping clients boost their sales quickly without actually doing a relaunch of the product, like taking what they're already doing and somehow boosting them tremendously. So what are some of the steps that you do to make that happen?
Sure. One of the things I find within a lot of companies is there's much missed opportunity, which I'm sure you two are well aware of. And I'm going to give you some case studies as we kind of talk through here, because it's easy for me to talk through different examples of the ways that I've done that for different companies. So I'll give you an example of a coach certification company that I had as a consulting client. They were an eight-figure company. They sold a product that was a program that was $10,000, certification program for $10,000. They were driving 3,600 leads a month into their business from paid advertising and referrals. They had a booking team, people that would book appointments for their sales team, and then they had a sales team. The booking team could only get to about 400 or 500 of these leads to book them, right? And the rest of the leads just kind of went by the wayside. And if people were persistent on requesting an appointment, then they would step in.
Do them favor of calling them back.
Exactly. Yeah. So I structured a way for them to get the cream of the crop to raise their hand first. So all these leads were coming in, and we put them through a funnel that literally qualified the people out, figured out where they were within their buying cycle, et cetera, where they were from a qualification standpoint, and put those leads to the booking team first, and then the other leads would be followed up if they had time to follow up. Otherwise, they went into a follow-up sequence. What that did for the company was to give them their best sales period ever. They had a four-month sales period. But more importantly, over time, it reduced their sales cycle from 46 weeks down to 13 weeks.
Wow.
Which is massive when you're doing paid advertising, you're obviously churning money. So that's an example, Jennifer, of some of the things I do for the company.
So how would our diehards do that if they wanted to create a funnel with the best of the best leads?
Sure. So if they've already got traffic, which is great, then we drive people into a specific landing page that invites them into a conversation. And from that invite, which would be very, very relevant to what they have the most need for, and I'm going to backtrack on that in a moment with another funnel that campaign that I put in for companies, then we take them through a qualification page, take people through a qualification page. And the qualification page makes sure that we get a lot of the questions out the way first in how we want, who we want to work with specifically. And if they answer the questions right, then they're going to end up at the top of the list for an appointment. Now, that's one way if they've got existing traffic. If they've got an existing database, what we'll do is we'll segment the database and we categorize it in the best sellers first, and we structure it in a kind of a tier downward so that they will have a 6 to 8 week mailing cycle, and they can mail through the database of the best prospects possible and keep putting them into this funnel that then takes them through qualification, that then puts them into a situation where they can have a conversation. Salespeople are happier because they're getting qualified leads. They tend to get more sales. They might end up with less, slightly less appointments, but because they're not dealing with a bunch of tire kickers or people that they can't sell because they didn't qualify, then they feel more confident in themselves to be able to sell.
Thank you for putting that in American terms. You didn't have to use the word tire rubbish kickers. Once.
Yeah.
Another way that we do that as well, by the way, is I have a simple campaign called the Survey to Strategy Session or Survey to Conversation funnel. And we send an email out that literally has a questionnaire that says, hey, what's the number one challenge you're experiencing right now? And there'll be five to seven different links in this email. And whatever link they click on, and the link would have a sentence in it that says, you know, I have a lack of leads or my sales conversion's low or whatever it is related to their specific industry, they would go to a page, there's a video. And then the video, the headline says, got a lack of leads. And then the video, the person comes up and says, hey, if you've got a lack of leads, then let's have a conversation. This is what it's about. And they start talking through some scenarios and uncovering why that might be within the video. And then the invite into a conversation happens. The great thing about that campaign is it enters the conversation that's going on in their mind already. So from the first click in the email to the headline on the page to the video, and to the button that we use underneath the video that drives them to the qualification page, as it were. So
that's cool.
That's totally cool, actually. And so the challenge for you is to find the company that has some of the criteria that you need in order to be able to make your program work.
Oh, for me personally? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want somebody that's got some kind of a foundation in order to be able to make it happen. So if you're a diehard out there with a foundation, then Alan may be your guy.
Yeah.
And, to help you build an awareness of who your best customers really are.
Yep.
I will confess to you, we have an email mailing list of about 220-some thousand people, and we have no idea who the hell they are. We know their names and their email addresses, but – it seems like we should be more sophisticated about that and get to the people that actually have a few bucks that they would like to spend today. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and there's many different ways to segment the database and to be able to establish who they are specifically. That would allow you then to segment the database. See, a lot of people, what they do is they have a database, and let's say it's 220,000, let's say it's 20,000, let's say it's 2,000. And they just say, one, come all, and they send a message to everybody thinking that everybody's going to hear it or want to hear it. But when you start to segment and you understand the database more specifically, you can target messaging to segments of the database. You get a much higher response rate, and you're not burning the rest of the list on a message that would be, you know, not really appreciated or not worth anybody's time for opening because they're not in that specific situation. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes total sense. You were the new way to sell. Any argument with that?
No.
And people who are using the old way of selling, of having a bunch of leads and making a bunch of cold calls and running a bunch of appointments, how can that be streamlined in today's market? How, you know, you've successfully done through questioning rather than qualifying. Is that fair? You question people and that puts them in. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to make that clear to the diehards out there that it's not necessarily a qualification process. Rather, it's a questioning process.
Yeah.
And whoever answers the questions goes into a bucket, and that bucket, you know, either filters to the top or filters to the bottom one way or the other.
Yeah. Just based that on is, that's as simple as it is sometimes. It's really asking a question that you know. When someone clicks to answer that question or takes a survey to answer that question, you know that they fall within that type of mm-hmm. within that segment. One of the other things that we do, Jeffrey, is something as simple as, because I have clients that have I have a number of clients in the coaching / personal development space, mm-hmm. and some of them cross over between personal development and between business. So we just send a simple email out and say, hey, if you're a business, we have some amazing things coming up for you. Click yes if you're a business, or click no if you're not. And if they click yes, then they get tagged and they go into a segment that we know that they're a business. And then if we put specific business information out, we tag them with that tag too when we know that they click on that. So we can build a segment and say, okay, that's really, you know, that's really the best list to send our business stuff to.
Do you ask yes or no questions or yes and yes questions? So, for example, are you a business? Are you a salesperson? Are you an entrepreneur? Are you a manager? Mm-hmm. What best describes you?
Yeah, we do it both ways. So that would be more of a survey type thing where we'd have a specific sentence and they click on the sentence that most relevant to them. Are you a customer service person? Are you a salesperson? Are you a CEO? Whatever type of thing. Or if we just wanted to know, are you a business? We just ask the yes question, basically.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling, or The Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude, a bunch of other books. But what you don't know is I'm coming to Dallas to do a live event. And there's a reason. The economy right now is booming and your sales are up. And you may erroneously think that you had something to do with it. I'm not coming to Dallas to tell you how to have your best year ever. I'm coming to Dallas to tell you how to have your best decade ever. Invest a few bucks in yourself. The dividends will last a lifetime. Hope to see you there.
So we have a lot of diehards out there thinking right now, this is all great, but I don't have a marketing budget and I don't have, you know, a dedicated...
Right, I'm a sales guy and I got to make a freaking living. I got a quota.
Sure. Well,
okay. So the number one thing here is to really know who your ideal client is. Because until you know who your ideal client is, you can go chasing all sorts of people. That's an issue because you're gonna burn yourself out. So let me give you an example of that that I've recently done for myself, actually. So I have a very, very targeted list that I acquired of companies that are doing $5 million or more in a specific industry. I know that industry. I know the language of that industry. I know what their hot buttons are, their desires, and their pain points are in that industry. I'm now sending direct mail to those people. Yeah, we've gone from new school to old school, Jeffrey. So
wow.
Like the new way of selling better.
Who licks the stamps? That's what I want to know.
They have like self-adhesive ones now.
My dog licks the stamps. No.
There you go.
So I just started doing direct mail to those companies. Now I'm getting inbound calls from companies that are doing 75 million, 15 million, 83 million from a direct mail letter.
Wow.
Now, I've only mailed 180 people. Hmm.
Let me follow up on this for just one second. What Alan is saying is that it is the message, not the medium, that mm-hmm. will get your phone to ring or the qualified prospect to play with you. So whether it's an email or a letter or mm-hmm. it's a text message or it's some kind of an outbound approach to reaching somebody, it's the words that compel someone mm-hmm. to respond. Is that fair?
It's the words that compel someone to respond. But more important, or the thing that has to happen prior to that is knowing that that company is already, that company and that person are already your ideal target audience. Because you can send the right message, a great compelling message, to the wrong audience, and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah, I receive like a ton of LinkedIn messages every day with people trying to sell me stuff. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever, I think, since I've had LinkedIn, I received one this week that was so personalized and customized to me. They even used my New York Minute thing. And I was like, wow, I wasn't even thinking about buying something like this, but now I'm going to entertain the idea and have a conversation with this guy, because he, like, he spoke to me. I don't know. It stood out. So you definitely can with the content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, where I was going with the marketing budget piece was that in your book, you actually talk about creating an unlimited marketing budget and that it's possible. Can you mm-hmm. elaborate on that?
Sure, absolutely. So if someone was to have, let me backtrack a little here. If someone already has a list, or they can create a list, right? They don't even have to have a list. They can create a list. It could be a small list. Once they start to monetize that, and they can then pay someone else to continue to build and nurture that list over time, every time a sale is made, you can make more money from that. Now, the example that I actually give in the book is when someone's already selling a product or a program. Let's say they're selling something for a couple of $100. I'm sure that you've read 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. He says that based on people buying things, 80% or 20% of those people will spend four times the money with you. So knowing that, you can actually go out and say, wow, it cost me $100 to acquire a client. I get $200 back from it. But if I even have spent $200 to acquire a client, if I'm selling something on the back end that's $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever that might be, then inherently you have an unlimited budget for creating customers, because you can keep reinvesting the money from the initial $200 price point thing that you have in order to keep upselling people into the $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 thing.
So the key is to reinvest the money, not take the money out and spend it on a ball game.
There's two keys. One is to have something else to sell once the initial sale is made, whether mm-hmm. that be instantly or whether that be further down the line. It could be 3 months down the line. It could be a year down the line. But knowing what the lifetime value of that client is enables you to know, wow, if I spend this money up front, I know that I'm going to get X dollars more on the back because I've got all these other things that I can potentially offer them in the process.
Without revealing any names of your particular clients, because sure. that's probably not the right thing to do, mm-hmm. is there anybody on the internet who you think is exemplary of doing your kind of marketing the right way? That you hold up as a, boy, this person really gets it and they're really doing it, male or female?
Yes. There's a guy named Russell Brunson mm-hmm. who...
The ClickFunnels guy.
Yep. He created ClickFunnels. And he does an amazing job of doing a free plus shipping book that upsells into something else that's like an order bump of $57 and then on and on, and before you know it, you've spent $3,000 with him. You've got a year's worth of ClickFunnels and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, he does an exemplary job of that.
Cool. So if you're a diehard and you want to see, quote, how it's done, mm-hmm. you can do one of two things. You can either go to your Instagram feed, because there'll be a bunch of them there. Instagram seems to have the market on that. And I'd like to know your opinion of that in just a minute. Or you can go to Russell Brunson or ClickFunnels and watch how he does it. Mm-hmm. Does Instagram play well for you now?
For me personally?
For any of your clients?
Yes, it's becoming much more of a thing. I'm not the traffic guy. I'm the conversion guy. So whether it's converting things online, converting things offline, I'm the conversion guy. So I have companies that I affiliate with that we bring in to do Google ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, and or just Instagram as social media mm-hmm. specifically in order to get traction.
They're in your informal network, would you say?
It might, yes.
Okay, cool.
So a lot of our diehards are business owners and entrepreneurs, and I was curious to know if, you know, you help entrepreneurs and business owners increase profit. What's an area that they might be ignoring that they should begin to look at and invest in?
Sure. The first thing is the positioning of their offers, how they position their offer. I spoke with a lady two days ago. It was very, very successful. She coaches CEOs of billion-dollar companies. And when I asked her what she was charging, I was like, wow, you could at least double what your prices are right now. And it's not even a drop in the bucket for these organizations. But she has a mindset around the money. And it was really enlightening to her to say, yeah, you know, I haven't changed my prices in 5 years, and really I should do that. So I would look at the positioning of an offer and how they're structured, because everything comes down to value. I mean, Jeffrey preaches this within his works, and I'm sure you do too, Jennifer. But everything comes down to value, and what the value, you know, what value you add is the value that you can is a value you can readily charge for.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And how was it coming to America from?
Yeah. From England? How did you Americanize yourself?
So the funny thing is, I first learned to slow down. I learned to shift some of the things I was saying because people couldn't understand.
That's very true.
Sorry, you're speaking English, but it's like a different language.
We couldn't figure that out. And I'm going to tell you a real funny joke. One of the first things that happened is I was working for this company. I said, how do I make coffee here? So they said, the machine's over there. So I was like, oh, okay, I just need to go and get the jug and I'll fill it up with water and pour that in the top and we'll make a pot of coffee here. So when the person came back and said, oh, did you find out with the coffee machine and everything? So I said, yes. So where'd you get the water from? I said, I got it from the toilet. And she nearly gagged because we call the bathroom the toilet. So she thought I got it out of the toilet. And anyway, my
Bingo.
First experience of like, no, I have to change the language.
Change your language.
Oh, that's funny.
Not being understood.
It's funny. You guys say sorry. We say excuse me or get the hell out of my way. one of those two things. But you say it so beautifully that I started saying it for, oh, sorry. And it's just, it has to be preceded by an O.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love the cucumber sandwiches that you can get with your tea.
Oh.
In England. That's my favorite.
So we obviously have admiration for each other's homeland.
Mm. Yes.
My personal favorite in your homeland is Edinburgh and Cambridge. Mm. Edinburgh is a foreign country. Scotland is foreign. If you're in England, you know, it's like New York is to Iowa.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a whole other country. But yeah. Cambridge is pretty cool.
Yeah.
A bunch of brainiac people hanging around at Punt.
Yeah. And, that's right.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Hey, where should people find out more about you and get your book?
Sure. If they want to go and get the guide, it's go to highticketsalesfunnel.com.
Okay.
Highticketsalesfunnel.com.
And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put everything in the show notes.
Grab that. It gives them the strategy, outlines that, and they'll be able to get some value from that for sure.
Cool.
Is it on Amazon as well, or is it only in your site?
No, it's only on my site. If you go to highticketsalesfunnel.com, it just takes them to a page and they can get that.
And well, you're probably going in a funnel.
That goes in your funnel. I love that. Welcome to my funnel. Please enter your $5.
And then you see how my funnel works.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sign up just to see how it works.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Enter your $10 here, and let's see how high we can get this thing.
And by the way, there's actually nothing for sale in that funnel.
Oh, crap.
There's nothing for sale.
Come on.
All right.
You know salespeople are the easiest sold. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if a salesperson comes to your funnel and there's nothing for them to buy, they're going to get frustrated real quick and call you up on the phone and go, or the telly, and say, how can I possibly give you some of my money, Alan?
That doesn't usually
That'll
happen.
Be a great problem to have.
Tremendous.
Alan, thank you so much.
Yeah,
this
you're
has been great.
You're brilliant at what you do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
It's a pleasure.
And I really appreciate being on this show.
Thousands of people will now call you and go into your Payless funnel.
I should add something in quickly.
Please, even if it's only for, $5.
$57.
Yeah, exactly. You get the 57 buckers, they'll go in.
Exactly.
All right, Alan, it's a pleasure. Cheers.
All right. Nice meeting you. Take care.
Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star in Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Alan McKenna is a business strategist with over 20 years' experience in turning companies around and exploding their growth. He's the author of The Ultimate Guide to Creating a High-Profit Sales Funnel, and he's driven more than $30 million in additional revenue for his clients. Whew, that's amazing. Welcome, Alan.
So
thank you so much. I appreciate having me here.
Yeah, in our pre-show.